Let's Talk, Bible Fellowship Church's devotional podcast, devoted to bringing you some spiritual truth to consider Monday through Friday. For the next few Wednesdays, we'll be talking through the book of Ephesians. A couple of things about Ephesians that I'm going to give you a little background on is that there's four epistles that Paul wrote from prison when he was in Rome in prison. And this is one of those. So Paul is actually writing a letter. That's what an epistle is a letter. And he's writing it to the church in Ephesus. Turn with me or listen to Ephesians chapter 1. We're going to go through the whole chapter today. In verses 1 and 2, Paul just basically introduces himself as an apostle of Jesus Christ. And he adds to that, by the will of God. And that's a very important part of this part of Scripture, in my opinion, is that we have to think about the will of God and what God wants for us, just like Paul is here. And he also says he's writing this letter to the saints in Ephesus and the ones who are faithful in Christ Jesus. So he's writing to the ones who already know Jesus. Paul wishes them grace and peace from God, our Father, and the Lord Jesus Christ. And then we'll go on with verses 3 through 6. And in these verses, it's going to mention spiritual blessings in Christ. So if you'll just read with me or follow along. Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who has blessed us in Christ with every spiritual blessing in the heavenly places, even as he chose us in him before the foundation of the world, that he should be holy and blameless before him. In love, he predestined us for adoption as sons through Jesus Christ, according to the purpose of his will, to the praise of his glorious grace, with which he has blessed us in the beloved. Now, in these verses, he mentions two different blessings, spiritual blessings that the church will be blessed with. We were chosen, or they were chosen, before the foundation of the world. So that's one of the blessings that God gave. And in verse 5, he says that he predestined us for adoption, that we would one day be his children, that we'll be his daughters and his sons. And we'll go on because I don't want to get too bogged down in individual things, but in verses 7 through 12 mentions that we are redeemed by the Son. And redeemed, if you'll think about it, means something that's paid for. When something is redeemed, it's paid for. And we're going to learn, and most of us already know, that we are redeemed by the blood of Jesus. And so now I'm going to read 7 through 12. In him we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of our trespasses, according to the riches of his grace, which he lavished upon us. And stop there just for a second. Lavished upon us. He didn't just give us a couple of drops. He poured it out over us, his grace. In all wisdom and insight, making known to us the mystery of his will, according to his purpose. Remember in the beginning, we talked about God's will for Paul, that he was an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God. Well, right here, you know, it's telling us according to his purpose. So, which he set forth in Christ as a plan for the fullness of time to unite all things in him, things in heaven and things on earth. In him we have obtained an inheritance, having been predestined according to the purpose of him who works all things according to the counsel of his will. There's his will again. So that we who were the first to hope in Christ might be to praise of his glory. So we see a spiritual blessing here in that we were redeemed by the blood of Jesus. Okay, we're going on to 13 and 14, and we're going to find out that we have another spiritual blessing, which is that we're sealed by the Holy Spirit. In him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it, to the praise of His glory. Now remember, Paul is writing to the church in Ephesus. He's writing to people that probably already know Jesus. And this particular part of Scripture is talking to us also, and it's telling us that when we hear the truth, we hear the gospel of salvation, and we believe in Him, and we accept that salvation, that we're sealed with the promise of the Holy Spirit that will be with us for eternity. So that's a very, very important thing to think about this morning, because so many times people who are sitting in church have not yet accepted that gospel. So think about that in your own life today, whether you have heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and that you have believed. And if you have believed, you're sealed with the Holy Spirit. If you have not believed, this is not for you. You need to talk to someone that can help you with that, or sit down and have just a private conversation with God about it. Okay, let's go on to 15 through 23. This is a prayer that Paul offered of thanksgiving and revelation. For this reason, because I have heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love toward all the saints, I do not cease to give thanks for you, remembering you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give you the spirit of wisdom and of revelation in the knowledge of Him, having the eyes of your heart enlightened, that you may know what is the hope to which He has called you, what are the riches of His glory, inheritance in the saints, and what is the immeasurable greatness of His power toward us who believe according to the working of His great might that He worked in Christ when He raised Him from the dead and seated Him at the right hand in the heavenly places, far above all rule and authority and power and dominion, and above every name that is named, not only in this age, also in the one to come. That's us. And He put all things under His feet and gave Him as head over all things to the church, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills all in all. I want to go back and just mention a couple of things in here that Paul is writing them this letter because he has heard from other people that these people love Jesus and that they love each other well. And so this is sort of like right now in this letter, he's sort of encouraging them that, you know, I've heard this about you and I want you to know that I give thanks for you in my prayers and I remember you for those reasons. I just love it when it talks about the enlightening of our hearts, how he helps our hearts to see those things. I have a couple of things that I want to share with you just from myself this morning. As believers in Jesus, we are a public demonstration of His presence here on earth. And I think you would all agree with me on that. God's resurrection power is present with us. Through our redemption, God is working out the redemption of the rest of creation. As we in the church live as God's children in the world, we are nothing less than a tangible representation of Jesus' presence and power. I've got two questions for you this morning that are sort of challenging questions that I'd like for you to ask yourself, and I've been asking myself the same thing. Are you representing Jesus well? Are there people out there that can look at your life like Paul was looking at the Christians in Ephesus, that people know that you love the Lord and that you love other people? So ask yourself that. Am I representing Jesus well? And the second question, it's really not a question, it's a challenge. Ask God how you can better represent Jesus on earth. Even if you're already representing Him, how can you do that better? How can we look and act more like Jesus? A word that comes to my mind when someone might ask me to define Jesus with one word, and that's sort of hard to do, but I think of forgiveness. As a believer in Jesus, you are a testimony to the greatest power ever imagined. Our lives should bear witness to the power of forgiveness. One way we do this is through forgiving others when they have wronged us. And I know that this is extremely hard. It's extremely hard for me, and but we can do it. But it's one of the most powerful ways that we can represent Christ in our world. And people will recognize that. They will talk about you. That person must love Jesus and love other people because they're representing Christ well, because they're forgiving people who have done them wrong. As you thank the Lord for His forgiveness toward you, ask Him for the power to forgive others. Thank you.